This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Barack Obama trumps Trump. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay on this Thursday, December 28th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Americans once again are most likely to name Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as the man and woman living anywhere in the world they admire most, as they have for the past 10 years.
New Year's Eve revelers need to prepare for a polar party.
At least 26 public school districts have reached settlements stemming from allegations of sexual harassment of students, teachers, or other employees.
And homeowners in coastal states are rushing to prepay their 2018 property tax bills.
People are operating under the assumption that it's okay, but you never know. It could be the IRS that come back and say that this is not something that they look too kindly on. So there are some jurisdictions, in fact, that are in New Jersey, I think, in particular, where local officials are not recommending that people prepay because they're a little concerned about how the IRS would respond.
David Harrison of the Wall Street Journal will be here in about 10 minutes with that story. More people are likely to name former President Obama than current President Trump as the man they admire most, although the gap between the former president and the current has narrowed over the last year. This morning's Dave Duncan has more on a new Gallup poll.
17% of those polled say Obama is the man they admire most, compared to 14% who picked President Trump. Last year, 22% of those surveyed picked Obama and 15% picked Trump. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton continued to top the most admired women question, with 9% of those surveyed picking her. Former First Lady Michelle Obama came in second with 7%. This year's survey marked one of the relatively few times that the incumbent president was not picked as the most admired man. The question has been asked since 1946. The only year it wasn't asked was 1976, and of those 71 times, the incumbent president was chosen 58 times. Jen?
Thanks, Dave. If you're heading out to New York Times Square Sunday night to see the ball drop, you'll be facing the coldest New Year's Eve celebration in more than 50 years as a brutal wave of Arctic air tightens its grip on much of the nation. Temps at midnight will be about 11 degrees, but that will feel like minus 10 with the wind chill. New Yorkers won't be the only ones freezing. Everybody from the Rockies eastward is going to experience severe cold through the end of the year. Boston is looking at 8 degrees. Chicagoans can look forward to a relatively balmy 9 degrees that will feel like minus 3. This woman in Chicago is already wearing 3 pairs of pants to keep warm.
I have tights, jeans, and the joggers.
In Erie County, Pennsylvania, Executive Kathy Dahlkember says people are struggling after a record snowfall of more than 5 feet.
Most snowfall for a day, most snowfall in 2 days and 3 days, snowiest month ever recorded. In the month of December.
Wind chill advisories or warnings are in effect for all of North Dakota and Wisconsin, as well as portions of South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, and Indiana. Green Bay, Wisconsin woke up to minus 13 degrees. Minneapolis struggled to break above zero yesterday. At least 26 public school districts agreed this year to at least $37 million in settlements stemming from allegations of sexual harassment or sexual assault of students, teachers, or other employees, according to an examination of payouts by the Wall Street Journal. The 26 settlements were reached in states from California to Connecticut and ranged from $30,000 to $8.25 million. They came during a year of high-profile incidents involving allegations of sexual misconduct by prominent men in politics, media, and entertainment. In 19 of the 26 settlements, the alleged victims were students. The remaining settlements involve suits filed by teachers and administrators. The journal tally represents a small sampling of the more than 13,000 school districts in the U.S. It couldn't be determined whether the number of settlements are up or down this year compared with previous years because there's no central clearinghouse of such cases. Researchers say many school districts are taking sexual misconduct more seriously in light of recent national events on the issue. It's 10 minutes after the hour. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Neal along with Ross Akay. A reminder, we can connect on social media. Friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. Well, homeowners across the nation are rushing to prepay their property taxes for 2018 before the Republican tax law kicks in on Monday, effectively raising the levy on higher-end homes. David Harrison of the Wall Street Journal is here now with the story. David, where is this happening?
It's happening pretty much all over the place in a number of states. It's happening mostly, I guess, in those states that have both high home prices and high tax rates, right? So where your home property, your property tax bill is likely to be relatively high. But this only is happening in states that allow you to prepay your property tax bill. That's not the case everywhere. So, you know, in places like in Virginia, it's happening, and I believe in New Jersey as well. So it's, you know, it's happening in a number of, you know, scattered localities across the country.
You mentioned where it's allowed. Is that a state-by-state decision, or is it a municipality-by-municipality decision? How's that work?
It's a little bit of both. So, and that's, you know, this is the sort of thing that no one really paid any attention to or really thought about until now. So some states leave it up to the local government. Some states have sort of rules about this. So you have places like Montgomery County, Maryland, right? The county council realized that a number of people were going to try to prepay their taxes and they wanted to make it easier. So they sort of rushed through a rule change to allow that to happen. And in New York, Governor Cuomo a few days ago basically put out an executive order saying that that this would be allowed statewide. He asked the local governments, local officials to make sure that people would be able to prepay their taxes. So it's the sort of thing, I think, that is the local and state level. But obviously, his attention is kind of focused on it now. A number of places are trying to relax the rules to give folks a chance to get ahead of this.
So, David, really, it sounds like there could be mass confusion. I mean, this thing only passed last week, and then everybody's rushing to get this done by Monday. So people must be pretty confused.
Yeah, it seems from the folks you talk to, it definitely seems to be the case. You know, unfortunately, it's really hard to offer sort of a clear-cut answer on this sort of thing because everybody's circumstances are different. You know, your tax circumstances are different. So it's hard to say exactly, you know, who should spend hours and hours standing in line a few days after Christmas and for whom it's really a waste of time. So that's the sort of thing I think it's probably best for people to speak with their tax advisors about this sort of thing. But you're right. I mean, there is a fair amount of confusion and, you know, a lot of people are standing in line hoping to get a break and, you know, some of them will. And for some of them, it's probably not the wisest way to spend the day.
We're speaking with David Harrison of the Wall Street Journal. David, is it clear that the IRS will allow people to take deductions for next year, this year?
No, that's another question that's surrounding all this. You know, I think people are operating under the assumption that it's okay, but, you know, you never know. It could be the IRS could come back and say that this is not something that they look too kindly on. So there are some jurisdictions, in fact, that are in New Jersey, I think, in particular, where local officials are not recommending that people prepay because they're a little concerned about how the IRS would respond.
David, is there any advantage for a city or a town, a municipality, to accept this extra tax money a bit early?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, what municipality would not want an influx of revenue? What essentially happens is that this is revenue that they were probably banking on for next year, and they're getting it a little bit early. So in the greater scheme of things, they're not going to get more money. They're just it's just sort of changing the dates, changing the calendar a little bit. So, you know, I think local governments are going to have to sort of readjust a little bit on the cash flow side. But yeah, I mean, they're getting money earlier, which is always nice.
Nice for now, but perhaps it will hurt them in the long run next year.
Yeah, it could. You know, this is one of the big questions surrounding this tax bill is what this will do to the real estate market. Because, you know, if it's no longer quite so, the tax advantages of owning a home aren't quite so strong as they have been in the past, you know, that could have all kinds of consequences for the real estate market. It could, you could see over time home prices dropping and the changes in the market, and you know that has all kinds of implications for specifically local governments. You know, where a big chunk of their revenue comes from property taxes. So, you know, anything that could weaken home prices and weaken property tax revenue is definitely something I think local governments will be watching very closely. But again, you know, this is the sort of thing no one really knows how this will play out. So we'll just all have to wait and see.
And some people, perhaps in a smaller part or rural part of the middle of the country, may see $10,000 as a yearly property tax bill as something outrageous and think that people must be living in million-dollar homes. But being a New Jersey resident, there's certainly some parts of the country where that's a very modest home that's paying $10,000, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of these things that really kind of puts a spotlight on the fact that the home market in the U.S. is just so fragmented. I mean, there are, as you said, I mean, there are places that are where property taxes are low and where home prices are really low, where a $10,000 tax bill is completely unimaginable. But yes, in a lot of places in coastal areas in New Jersey or New York or here in D.C. or in California, I mean, yes, that's definitely something that is quite common for a lot of people.
Thanks, David. David Harrison of the Wall Street Journal. Now, the IRS is cautioning that not all property tax prepayments can be deducted before the tax law takes effect. The agency says property taxes that haven't been assessed before 2018 won't be deductible on 2017 tax returns. State and local law determines when property taxes are assessed, and those dates vary by location. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, John, the Pennsylvania National Guard was dispatched in northwestern Pennsylvania. Guard members had to drive high-clearance all-terrain military vehicles to aid local agencies and help with medical emergency and law enforcement responses in Erie, buried under more than 5 feet of lake effect snow over 2 days. Erie County Executive Kathy Dahlkemper can't remember the last time the area got that much snow. Well, in New York, communities near Lake Ontario's eastern end, including Redfield, Oswego, and Boylston, road crews also have been creating monster snowbanks as they plow similar multi-foot accumulations. Attorneys for President Trump and his top advisors have said they don't believe former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn has any evidence that could implicate the president or his White House team in special counsel Robert Mueller's probe of Russian interference in the 2016 election. But people familiar with the legal strategy tell the Washington Post since Flynn's cooperation agreement with prosecutors was made public, the administration's been strategizing how to neutralize him in case he does make any claims. The Post says Trump's team plans to attack Flynn's credibility. Joining his New York counterpart, Governor Chris Christie has signed an executive order allowing New Jersey residents to prepay their 2018 property taxes, hoping to alleviate the impact President Trump's recently approved tax plan may have on residents who currently pay the highest property taxes in the nation. Approved last week after barely passing Congress, the plan caps the income and property tax deduction at $10,000. Half of Americans tell a new Associated Press poll that health care is their top concern heading into the new year, leading all other issues such as taxes, immigration, and climate change by more than 15 percentage points. Researchers find that pregnant women with epilepsy who take the anti-seizure drug topiramate during their first trimester may boost the risk that their child will be born with a cleft lip or cleft palate. The study in the journal Neurology notes the med is also used at a lower dosage to control migraines, treat bipolar disorder, or in combination with other drugs to lose weight and may pose the same risk to pregnant women who use it for those conditions.
Some good information there. Thank you so much. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal this week, along with Rasa Kay. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. And what a year for deliveries, especially when it comes to food. Grubhub is out with its delivery trends analysis for 2017, which yields some interesting finds. Here to break it down is trends expert Caitlin Carl. Caitlin, how did Grubhub analyze its deliveries?
Absolutely. So we were looking for opportunities to play back insights in regards to how people ordered throughout 2017, and we really found some interesting and unexpected trends. And we looked at the data that was, or the orders through our data from 2017 that were more ordered this year in comparison to previous years, and really found some interesting foods that spiked in popularity.
All right. What's atop your spike?
At the top of the spike, we have poke in the number one spot, and it rose 643% in popularity just this year.
Okay, maybe I'm crazy. What is poke?
Well, it's been a very popular Hawaiian dish for years, and it's the raw fish, classically either an ahi tuna or salmon, and marinated in a delicious sauce. Sometimes it's in bowl form on top of rice with some raw veggies as well, and it's really, really taken off in 2017 and is even forecasted for popularity continuously in 2018.
Now, is this a dish that's popular all over the country?
That is what we're seeing. It's actually one of LA's hottest dishes this year, but we've also seen rising popularity in New York, Chicago, but even venturing to, you know, the middle of the country, going over to the East Coast in Atlanta, and it's really starting to take over all over the U.S.
All right, Caitlin, what are some other popular dishes that you found?
Absolutely. So in the number two spot, we're seeing soft pretzels rose 221% popularity this year. In the number three spot, we see avocado toast. Number four, most popular dish, are chips and queso. And in the number five spot is an SIU bowl.
We are speaking with Caitlin Carl from Grubhub about things that people are ordering. Now, Grubhub has also come up with a list of things that you think will be popular in 2018. How can you possibly forecast that?
Well, we looked at the foods that were rising in popularity month over month. So, you know, those were those foods that we saw people that began to order in January, and come October, November, we're really seeing that these are really hot dishes for delivery. And in that number one spot, we see lettuce chicken wrap that rose 184% in an average monthly popularity in 2017. And we're seeing that lettuce chicken wraps may be on track for great popularity in 2018.
Caitlin, you also have a list of trendy dishes for delivery. What are some of those?
Yes. So we see, in line with National Culinary Reports, that vegetable entrees, so we're talking about spaghetti squash, jackfruit, zucchini noodles, cauliflower steaks, are really going to be popular in 2018 as well. And these are what those National Culinary Reports are saying, and we're seeing it in delivery as well. So it's not only something that you're preparing at your home, but those vegetable entrees are making their way to the delivery bags as well.
Maybe we're getting a little tiny bit healthier.
It does sound like that, but of course you have to balance it out. We see that on track for 2018, you have your spicy tonkatsu ramen, you have Korean fried chicken wings, a brisket sandwich, all on track to rise in popularity in 2018. So I think life is all about balance. You have your vegetable entrees, but you also have these really rich, delicious dishes.
I don't know. Avocado toast sounds pretty good right about now. Caitlin Carl with Grubhub. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Give your employees the power to do their best work and maximize this year's budget when you update to new, powerfully performing Dell Business PCs with Intel Core processors. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution for your business. Get up to 35% off select business PCs now until the end of December. Did I mention there's free shipping? Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
On this Thursday, December 28th, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. Republican Roy Moore has filed a lawsuit to try to stop Alabama from certifying Democrat Doug Jones as the winner of the U.S. Senate race. A power outage hit Disneyland yesterday, stranding visitors on about a dozen rides. The outage affected Toontown and Fantasyland. Bowl game winners yesterday included Iowa, Texas, Purdue, and Florida State. Congrats on finishing that marathon. Too bad it wasn't the distance you thought it was. That story coming up in about 20 minutes. Well, the U.S. and Russia aired disagreements this week over key world conflict zones, including Ukraine and North Korea. Julian Barnes of The Wall Street Journal joins us this morning from Brussels to tell us about a phone call between Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov. Julian, what did Tillerson say about Ukraine?
Well, this is part of a push by the U.S. to try to get a peace deal for Ukraine, to sort of change the status on the ground. And we see the U.S. Putting pressure on Russia to try and get a diplomatic solution in Ukraine. They want Russia to end its support for the separatists there, and we've seen an uptick in fighting in eastern Ukraine, and the West blames Russia for that.
A couple of years ago, Ukraine was in the news here every day, maybe 2 years ago. We haven't heard a lot about it in the U.S. lately. What is going on there?
Well, you know, we've had, if we look back over the last 2 years, we have ups and downs about the fighting there. But in recent weeks, after a little period of calm, we've had a clash once again. And you know, what Western diplomats, European diplomats say, and American diplomats agree, Russia can change the sort of rheostat on that. They're able to dial up and dial down the sort of separatist activity. They may not have direct control of those separatists, but by the sort of arms and ammunition they flow to them, as well as the advisors they have with them, Moscow is able to control that. And, you know, what the West says is Russia does that to sort of put pressure, especially on the U.S., but also on Kiev, of course. And we've seen a focus by the Trump administration to try to move forward on the U.K. It's been a stalemate for the last couple of years. Clearly, Tillerson, Mattis, other players in the administration feel it's important to try to make progress now.
We're speaking with Julian Barnes of the Wall Street Journal. Julian, certainly the U.S. and Russia have differing views on North Korea. What's the problem there?
Yes, and we saw in the dueling readouts about the call between Lavrov and Tillerson a difference of opinion there. And Lavrov and the Russians believe that the U.S. is putting too much pressure on North Korea, and they want the U.S. to sort of back off on the sort of diplomatic and economic pressure that the U.S. is moving forward. That the Moscow thinks the U.S. is sort of lurching toward war, and they're worried about that. And we saw the North Koreans sort of say that the UN actions of the last week were an act of war. But the administration has been very clear, you know, that they are not going to accept the path that North Korea is on. They are not going to accept the continued provocations, nuclear tests, missile tests, and they need the North Koreans to back down. And so we have two great powers with having a disagreement of how to proceed here in two trouble spots in the world. And, of course, of the two of them, North Korea with the nuclear weapons is the most dangerous.
Julian, is Russia alone in its support of North Korea?
You know, the real question, of course, is always China when it comes to North Korea. And China views North Korea, you know, as a problem, just as the United States does. But China does not want the U.S. to come and impose its own solution on there. China also does not want the U.S. to sort of force China to fix the problems of North Korea. And so there's a difference of opinion on sort of end state and strategy, even though both Beijing and Washington do not like the regime in North Korea, do not like its pursuit of nuclear weapons.
And Julian, do we know if Rex Tillerson is presenting the words of President Trump on all these matters, or is he saying what he wants to say?
There is no better question when we're looking at American diplomacy in the world right now than that one. Tillerson, Mattis, McMaster, these folks all have a fairly hard line against Russia. They've been pretty consistent in their positions. Donald Trump has a much different approach. He is much more interested in cooperation with Russia, as we saw in recent weeks in his, you know, sharing of information to prevent a terrorist attack in Russia and making sort of a big deal about that.
Julian Barnes joining us from Brussels this morning from the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes before the hour. What's ahead for technology next year? This morning's Gordon Deal takes a look.
We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group, and we're talking about the tech that might change our lives in 2018. When you kind of do these forward-looking things like this, what jumps out when you think of tech for the following year?
Well, so one of the first things that's popping out are these always-on PCs. These are new. These are laptops that run the Snapdragon ARM processor and have 20-something hours a battery life up to 30 days of standby time, and are designed to always be connected to the internet via cellular connection, and supposed to cost around $800, but I think they're going to cause us to rethink whether we need tablets, because they kind of perform like a tablet and allow us to do things on our laptops that we currently can't do.
Why eliminate the need for laptops? Just because, well, we don't have to...
Well, for tablets, mostly. Because they work kind of like a tablet. A lot of them are two-in-ones.
Okay.
They're fairly small for a laptop in the 12 to 13-inch screen range. And as I say, a number of them are in the two-in-one category. So they can be a tablet, they can be a laptop. I don't like the two-in-ones we had that were PCs, which had pretty much horrid battery life. We were talking about battery life in a 2 or 3 hour mode against an iPad that was typically 10 or 11 hours. These, as I say, have 20 hours of battery life, and then they're always connected. So you, no matter where you go, you're instantly online. You're able to browse and carry on. Well, I say about every place. Airplanes are still going to be issues. But as long as you're on the ground, you'll be connected as long as you've got a cell phone signal.
What about robots for consumers?
Yeah, that should be really big this year. Sony brought back the Aibo, a robotic pet, this year, and CES is supposed to be awash with robots next month. And a lot of them have grasping hands. I mean, a lot of the development's going on for robots that can be assistants. I think we're probably going to see trials for those, but we have a lot of ones that are kind of companions for kids hitting the market. I know in the San Jose airport, they've actually got a showcase for them now that you see as you walk through the airport. But fully articulated robots. So kind of taking the Amazon Echo and putting legs or wheels or whatever on it and allowing it to move around the house and terrorize your pets.
We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle about things tech-wise that will change our lives in 2018. You and I talked about this recently, but where do you see voice assistants in the coming 12 months?
Well, they're getting screens. Amazon this month just launched a second one. I've got the Amazon Show now in two rooms of my house. But they just launched another one with a smaller screen that's more affordable. Hopefully, it will arrive here sometime today. But that's becoming much more common. So you can, as you're listening to the voice assistant, you can video conference out, talk to a friend or a relative about what it is you're doing. Put it in the kitchen, watch movies while you're working, and that kind of thing. Or if you're browsing the web. You were able to use YouTube and watch YouTube videos about how to. Right now, Amazon and Google are having a little bit of a tiff, so YouTube's being blocked on at least Amazon's version of this thing, but that'll get fixed. But yeah, just they add a screen, and it adds up a certain amount of capability. Plus, one of the handy things is if you really want to just annoy the heck out of the folks that are in your house, you can do karaoke on them. So rather than just listen to music, it will show the lyrics, and you can sing along mostly off-key and once again and terrorize the pets.
That's tech expert Rob Enderle speaking with this morning's Gordon Deal. It's 13 minutes before the hour. Jennifer Koshinka in for Gordon Deal this week, along with Rasa Kay. Well, if you're in the market for a new car, now is the time to hit the showroom. This week, you'll see end-of-year sales, lots of unsold 2017 models, and aggressive discounts. Cars.com says it's definitely a buyer's market because incentives are so high. The average dealer incentive was $4,302. As of mid-December, 2.7% above the previous record set in November. In 17 of the last 18 months, incentives have averaged at least 10% of the manufacturer's suggested retail price. After strong sales in most of 2015 and 16, analysts expect overall sales in 2017 to be below last year's final tally of 17.5 million. And various forecasts also predict that 2018 will mark a further reduction in sales. Because of that, experts project dealer discounts to continue in an effort to lure customers into showrooms. Right now, the biggest discounts generally are on 2017 models, especially on sedans. Consumers' shifting preference for SUVs and trucks has left too many sedans and other less popular models on dealer lots. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of today's top stories.
Well, Jennifer, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf sent 21 National Guard troops driving Humvees and other high-clearance vehicles to help with emergency response and transport essential emergency services and hospital employees in and around snowbound Erie.
go out with our Humvees and pick up people and get them to work so that they could then take care of people in the hospital.
That's Erie County Executive Kathy Dahlkemper, who says the guard will go home today and the locals will resume digging out from under 5 feet of lake effect snow that fell over 2 days. Elsewhere, hypothermia and frostbite from widespread bitter cold are major concerns. Wind chill advisories or warnings are in effect for much of northern New England, the Northern Plains, and Great Lakes states, including all of North Dakota and Iowa. The National Weather Service warns the wind will make it feel between minus 15 and 30 degrees below zero in parts of northern and central Illinois, and they forecast the temperature in Maine will remain below freezing for more than 10 days. 35 people were killed, about 30 others injured today, in simultaneous bombings at an Afghanistan news agency and a Shiite cultural center in Kabul. Police say the attack occurred during a panel discussion on the 1979 invasion of Afghanistan by the former Soviet Union. A number of those attending were students. A blast ripped through a supermarket in St. Petersburg, Russia last night, injuring at least 10 shoppers. Investigators say it was a homemade bomb packed with pieces of metal and a force equivalent to 200 grams of TNT. Hidden in a locker where shoppers leave their belongings. Russian President Vladimir Putin is calling it a terrorist attack. A former lawyer for companies run by Martin Shkreli has been found guilty of scheming with the despised pharmaceutical executive to commit fraud. The jury in a federal court in Brooklyn decided Evan Grable was guilty of committing wire fraud and securities fraud through a Ponzi scheme between 2009 and 2014 that built investors of $11 million. A 1939 luxury Mercedes limousine used to carry Adolf Hitler around Germany will be auctioned in Arizona next month. One of only four such models ever built worldwide, auctioneers in Scottsdale bills it as the most historically significant automobile ever offered for public sale. 10% of the sales price will be donated to Holocaust education programs.
Too bad it's not 100% of the sale price.
Well.
Thanks, Rasek. What's worse than struggling to finish a marathon? Finding out that the distance you thought you ran wasn't even right. Even with the proliferation of GPS, mapping software, and wearable internet-connected technology, measuring an official marathon relies on a bicycle with a tool developed in the 1970s. It also depends on the perfect execution of a variety of tasks, from the placement of traffic cones to marking turnaround points. And in a number of cases, that's resulted in human error. The Wall Street Journal says just this year, runners ran too short or too long in races in Tennessee, Texas, Maine, Florida, Mississippi, and Scotland. Last year, the Greater Manchester, England Marathon declared its races in 2013, 14, and 15 were all short by 380 meters due to a calibration error in 2013. Sometimes people lay out the race incorrectly, or those setting up the course get it wrong. Other times, volunteers or staff posted at sections of a race send runners in the wrong direction. If a race distance is off, it can't be certified, which means a runner's time might not be allowed to qualify them for major competitive races like the Boston Marathon. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.